Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl. This is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. And I just keep getting more and more hoarse. What is up with that? I still don't have any input from anybody out there. If you have any input, let me know. I mean, I think the solution is just to give my voice a break and stop talking. I've been having like two podcasts a day sometimes. And then of course I have, you know, clients and I've just been talking. I would like nothing more than to give my voice a break. Today is a very, very important guest, guys. I'm so excited about this guest. I do have to give you some backstory, but first I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Jigsaw Health. I absolutely love you guys so much. I can't love you more. It's impossible. I want to share with you guys that we're going to be doing a Facebook Live with them on the Jigsaw page, and I'm going to give you all of that information in May. We're going to do it May 7th at 10:15 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we're going to do a Q&A, and we're going to talk about magnesium and a few. We're going to specifically talk about ongoing low-grade stress and what to do about it. So this is basically where we are all at. Some people, they wouldn't call it low-grade at all. Some people would say this is high-grade stress. Either way, ongoing chronic stress and what it does to the body and what we can do to prevent damage and deficiencies and having it deplete our immunity. So join us for that. Just keep an eye out on my Instagram on healthygutgirl_, and you'll see the invitation there. You'll see it on Facebook. I'm going to make sure you know all about it. I also wanted to let you know you have a coupon with them. So anything you want to purchase off of the Jigsaw Health website, you can do so and you can get a discount with that and using Kitty10. Kitty10 is the coupon code. And by the way, when we do this Facebook Live, we're going to be giving away a magnesium Jigsaw bundle. So there's going to be a lot of I don't know if you guys saw my post of all the different stuff they sent to me, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going to be in the bundle. It's a big old box of goodies. And who couldn't use that right now? So make sure you stay tuned. All right, so let's talk about this crazy, crazy situation. For those of you that have been following me forever, you will recall that one of my most exciting encounters and interviews was with Dr. Sam Chichoa. Now, let me give you some backstory to Sam, and I'm going to tell you more about Sam at the end of this podcast, but I don't want to give too much away, but this was back in 2016. So this was almost 5 years ago, and this was, it's a three-part series, a three-part episode. It's a podcast 22, 23, and 24, all the way back to February. It was February 26, 2016. Anyway, Dr. Sam Chichoa is famous for creating, I'm going to call it a vaccine, but it's not the type of vaccine that you would think. He created a vaccine that was used in multiple studies that he did. One of them was in Mexico, in a small village in Mexico, and he literally cured. They had a really high percentage rate of HIV-infected people. He went there on purpose, and he created a type of vaccination or a cure. Vaccine implies that you don't have it yet and you get immune to it, but this was more of like a serum that actually cured all of these people. And so I can say his name because, you know, it's just a fact. He was on Dr. Oz, Charlie Sheen. He was treated by this particular doctor. He made it onto Dr. Oz, Charlie Sheen did, and he was interviewed prior to having done this, during the treatment, and then they had all this footage of how, you know, he basically was doing amazing. He was, his levels were, I mean, all the details are in the film, but you can also look it up online, the details about this whole Charlie Sheen's incident. But then my inside information, and our podcast guest does not talk about this, and nor does the movie, because they are trying to stay safe, and I get it. My inside information was that Charlie Sheen had an offer to approach Dr. Choa, who had been approached many, many times by Big Pharma. I don't know what company specifically, doesn't matter. They were approached by Big Pharma. He was approached to sell his serum ingredients, to sell the technology to this company. He had a study done through Cedars-Sinai. That's in the movie. And basically, he wouldn't do it. And Dr. Choa had a lot of threats for helping people, for curing people. There was a bomb placed in his car. He had multiple attempts on his life. And he and his wife, I believe at the time, got in the car. They survived, but they were both injured. I mean, it's a story that is right out of a film. Of a film that's mostly like, that's unbelievable, you know? Anyway, he refused. So then I guess Charlie Sheen, the inside story was that he actually did approach Dr. Choa through some pharma company and said, hey, do you want to, you know, sell this technology to this pharma company? And Dr. Choa said no, and they had some kind of falling out. And then there was another attempt on Dr. Choa's life in Mexico. Nobody really knows much about that and who did it. We can all make our own assumptions. But next thing you know, Charlie Sheen is back on Dr. Oz saying that he was full of BS and a total charlatan. So I don't know, you can listen to my old podcast with Dr. Choa, the three-part podcast, and you can watch this movie, this amazing movie that our guest is here to promote, and you can listen to this podcast, and then you can draw your own conclusions. But basically, the most important part about today's podcast is this gentleman, James Raffone. He started Jar of Hope, which is a charity foundation that raises money and awareness for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's a very rare type of muscular dystrophy. He's going to tell us a little bit about that. And his son, Jamesy, who is 11 now, has it. And so the most important part about this is how Dr. Choa treated Jamesy and added years to his life. A terminal muscle wasting disease, by the way, has added years to this child's life, and what has become of this, and the awareness raised and hopefully money raised to get this technology to the next level of testing so that we can either A, debunk it, or B, get this to the masses. Sadly, I don't know if that will ever happen, but I can only pray. So please listen carefully to this amazing human, James Raffone. When we originally met, we met in Las Vegas. So for my listeners, I know it seems like another lifetime. So it was probably, I think I told you, like my 12th podcast episode, and I was approached with a unique opportunity to interview Dr. Sam Choa, who is the the very controversial doctor who had a remedy. I don't even want to call it a vaccine, right? Because I don't even know what he was necessarily calling it. He did refer to it as a vaccine, but it was multiple types of concoctions, elixirs, whatever you want to call them, that he was curing people that had HIV/AIDS, that had cancers of all sorts, that had multiple sclerosis. And I had this opportunity to go out to Las Vegas and interview him. And he was already going through some pretty exciting and strange times with attempts on his life, issues with Big Pharma, going back and forth with different hospitals like Cedars-Sinai. Anyway, so I was excited to do the interview. I get there, I meet him. It's a 4-hour interview in Caesar's Palace that was just crazy. And then he wanted me to then go to another location, undisclosed location. And so we did. And he had a line of people waiting out the door of the clinic. And I walked in and said, "Oh my goodness, so who are all these people?" And he said, "Oh, these are all people who are under treatment." And he welcomed us into the room to record and to interview. And I think you were like the first, you and Jamesy were the first patients that walked in the door. And that's when I met you. So tell us about that trip for you.
So on the reverse end of that, so everybody understands, my son is diagnosed was diagnosed with a terminal muscle wasting disease that to date has no cure, known as Duchenne muscular dystrophy. That was back in 2013. Fast forward to approximately 2015, I want to say, is when our encounter took place in this remote location, which was told to me as tribal land, which mm-hmm. was how Dr. Sam was allowed to practice medicine. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of very clandestine. I got a phone call at 1:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, and I was actually inside a hyperbaric chamber with my son. Back then, he was a little boy, and we slept in the chamber together every other night as a therapy for him. And when we got this phone call, it was, "Hello, I understand you're trying to reach Dr. Sam. If you would like to see him, be in Las Vegas tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. It's 1:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. So that's why it's important for everybody to understand how things are unfolding at this time. Needless to say, I get out of the chamber. We try feverishly to get a plane ride to Las Vegas to see them. Unfortunately, my wife intervenes and all hell breaks loose in my house, as you can imagine. Right? We've never met him. There's so much controversy around him. And we don't go, my son and I. That's the first.
Let me ask you a quick question. In the mm-hmm. timeline of what was going on in Dr. Chochoa's life at the time with the Charlie Sheen episode, at what point had he then contacted you? Did you already have access to the Bill Maher video and to the Charlie Sheen and the Dr. Oz? Had that already happened or was it happening?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think that might have been one of when he was on Bill Maher is what prompted my wife to prompt me to get in touch with Sam.
Okay.
And as I was trying to get in touch with him, we weren't getting any sort of feedback. My wife, 6 degrees of separation, knew somebody that was treated by Sam, was cured of this terminal cancer and was clapped out of a hospital. And the wife of the husband got in touch with us, got in touch with Sam, and connected the dots.
Okay.
And that's how this all came together.
Wow. That's definitely some divine intervention there, because he has not treated a lot of people. That's a tiny little itty bitty, you know, I mean, he has in Mexico, there's villages of people he's treated and helped. So that's amazing that happened at all. So that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so miraculously enough, about 2 weeks later, we get the same phone call from what turns to be out to be his attorney, Henry, 1:30 in the morning, same thing. "Jim, if you'd like another chance, be in Las Vegas, 10:30 in the morning." And at this point, we were kind of ready, but not ready. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, my wife, said, "The only way you're going to get to go is somebody goes with you," because we had no idea what we were in going to encounter. We didn't know if this was child trafficking, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, when we got there, they couldn't have been any nicer. Mm-hmm. And things just unfolded for the better. And like you pointed out, there were people on the ready to see him that had already a history with him that were getting better from certain diseases. And I do recall there was a woman there with MS, a father, mm-hmm. his daughter who had MS and a few other things. And it was amazing to see And then this poor guy, you know, he's a frail older man. He's a bigger guy, but he's still frail at the same time, was having death threats, was blown up in a car, all sorts of allegations posed against him. And, you know, at the end of the day, he wanted nothing more but just to show, I guess, the American people that there are cures out there, that mm-hmm. you don't have to live with such ailments and such fatal diagnoses as what my son is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember one of the women there who went, once he entered, as we walked through the door, he introduced me and my assistant, and he said, you know, they're doing an interview, and he explained who we were. We're doing a podcast, and they like ran at me. A few people like ran at me and were like, oh, I'll tell you my story. You want to hear my story? And this one woman had been already, she had lesions on her brain. She was in a wheelchair. She had lost most motor function. It happened really rapidly. You know, within a year, she went from using a cane to being in a wheelchair. And yeah, there she was, literally running right up to me, and had this story that she wanted to share. Gosh, in retrospect, had I known that all this was going to go the way that it did, I would have gotten every single one of their phone numbers and interviewed every right. single one of them. So, okay, so I'm sitting there. You guys walk in. Was that your first visit? Do you remember? I don't think it was it? The very first time we met?
That was the very first time I met Sam, because if I remember right, you guys were to my right when we walked in the door.
That's right.
And when we were outside the building, I had left my son and my friend in a parked car almost around the corner, because I had no idea how this was going to unfold. I motioned to Henry to come outside, because if anything was going to happen, it was going to happen where I felt I could get away right. and or not be compromised. So this is what I'm thinking.
I mean, I'm laughing too. Because I'm laughing as well, because we had this crazy setup with how we were supposed to get a hold of him. Me and my assistant, they wouldn't give us a location. They wouldn't give us a number. They had our number, but they were going to text us at 10:30 and let us know which hotel, and we had to drive really far. I mean, we were looking, every helicopter that flew over, we were like, here they come, here they come. So we felt the exact same thing you were feeling.
Right. Yeah. And so I told Henry to come outside. I wound up putting my foot on the door so nobody else could come out or he couldn't open the door. And I basically told him point blank, anything happens to my son, I'm killing you first. Because there was just, you know, I didn't know what I was walking into. I didn't want anybody touching my son the wrong way, looking at him in the wrong way. You know, all my senses were firing at that point.
Yeah.
And then once he made me at ease, I motioned to my friend, and you know, he brought my son in, and he walked in filming as we walk into the room, and you're filming.
Right.
It could, because at the same time, Henry's like, we don't know who you are, and we don't know if you're going to do something to harm Sam.
Yeah, everybody was protecting themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay, it was the first time. So I saw your film and I loved it, and I don't want to give a lot away, but I will say that I remember, because there's some footage from that yes. appointment, and I was like, I'm sitting right there in the corner. And I remember thinking when I saw your son, and maybe you can describe why this is. I fell in love with him instantly. I was like, that is probably the cutest little boy I have ever seen. He looked so fit, and you can explain that's one of the characteristics. Like, his muscles were so formed, and he looked like a little Hulk. He looked like a little Superman, and he was super lethargic and really shy, and he was hiding in your arm, and he was laying down basically through almost the whole appointment as we spoke. And then Dr. Chuchoa administers the treatment right there. Had I known that you guys had just experienced that, putting your foot in the door and being nervous about all that, it just would have put a whole different light over the whole thing, you know? But then tell us a little bit about that appointment and about that characteristic of Duchenne.
Right. So you got a great recollection. And so when we walked in, my son was lethargic. He is extremely shy. But one of the characteristics of Duchenne muscular dystrophy is that the boys have swollen calves, if you will, which is where the muscle tissue turns to fibrotic tissue. And that's how or what causes the loss of ambulation to begin in the legs. Mm. And so if you recall, my apprehension when Sam went to administer my son, I almost kind of gave a reaction to stop him, which gave him pause. And then he decided to treat me first.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So yes. there was some trepidation at the moment, even though I had conceded to this. Ooh. There was this moment where I was like, oh my God, this is really going to happen. Is there really a drug in there that's going to do something harmful to my son? So I stopped him. And then he had me get up and do these crazy little tests.
Oh, because you had some shoulder stuff. Or knee. Right. Was it knee or shoulder?
It was my shoulder,
that's
my left shoulder.
Right. Okay.
And as he's doing this, I'm thinking he's totally, this guy maybe is a whack job. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, he gives me an injection. And then within a few minutes, whatever pain or lack of strength I was feeling due to some injury from bodybuilding, it almost went away instantaneously. And I felt fine. I mm-hmm. felt better than fine. Mm-hmm. And so we had gone through that little dog and pony show. And then I felt at ease even more so to let him administer to my son. And, you know, a five-year-old little boy, there's really what he wanted to do was prove to me that what he was injecting was working. Mm-hmm. And the speed in which it worked. So he had brought some weights, if you remember, and I'm like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. not going to work. He's not going to be able to lift and curl them and things of that nature. So he asked me, what do you think is a good tell to see if this is working? I said, well, boys with Duchenne, they really can't hop for a good period of time. So he had my son do some hopping, which he was able to get two, maybe three out at best. And mm-hmm. then my son was trying to get back on the medical table. So after he administered him, we had a short brief conversation here or there. And then he asked my son to get off the table. And my son gleefully did. And then if I recall, he hopped about 13, 14 times and then hopped his tiny little ass by himself on the medical table into my arms.
I remember.
And this is live footage. So the movie that we produce, it's a documentary, A Race Against Time. And you can go to Venmo and you can watch the movie for those who are going to watch this. And that is real footage, real time footage. And Kitty is actually...
I'm there.
Yeah, you're like at 10 o'clock from how the angle of which to film. My buddy Vinny was filming from a Surface tablet.
Right.
Because we wanted to make sure. I walked in telling Vinny, if they do something to harm my son, you film it. I'm going to, you know, distract him and you take my son and run out. And that's the conversation we had. But, you know, an hour into this, I fall in love with this guy because he's doing or giving my son the ability to do things that he had never done in 4 years of his life.
Yeah.
And then we turn into a three-day event. If you remember,
I didn't know that. I didn't. What happened right after that for me was, I remember your son got really hyper. It seemed to me really a lot of energy, and he started jumping around, and he jumped onto the thing, and he was super cute and flirty, and had all this energy. And then they came to somebody came to take him out. Your friend came to take him out because I think they had some pizza or something in the back, and so he left the room, and then it was just you, and And then that's it. And then after you left, Dr. Jochoa had multiple more patients, including myself. And then he, that's it. Then I didn't hear from you again until I reached out. One of us reached out. But so what happened after that for the next 3 days?
Right. So it was that day and then two following days. And so we went back. But the what was remarkable was the night we went up to the hotel room, my son actually ran from the elevator to the hotel room, which he had never done before. And then after an hour or so in the hotel room, he turned to me, a five-year-old little boy, turned to me and said, Daddy, I want steak. Aww. He had never asked for such a food article as such. So needless to say, we went down, we got him a steak, he ate the whole thing. Aww. And it was kind of like this phenomenon was going on inside of his body. Next day we go down, same thing. They give him a treatment and they say, well, let's see something because I had told them about him running. They take him outside to the street. It was a parking lot and he runs up and down a distance where, again, a little boy with Duchenne is not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, he really perked my interest then. And then, you know, and then the same thing happened the third day. We go home and we get tested for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the only way to really have a tell inside their bodies as a biomarker is by testing their CPK levels, which is a marker that shows muscle wasting or muscle loss or muscle breakdown. And at the time, my son's CPK levels were reading 20,000. After a month, they go down to 18,000. And now it would have been too costly for me to keep flying out to LA or Las Vegas. Sam had started sending me treatments. And then 6 months later, I went to go see Sam again because he wanted to see my son physically. And he had really taken to my son and he really cares about what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And needless to say, my son's CPK levels went from 20,000 to 18,000 to 15,000, 13,000, 12,000, 11,000.
Wow.
Now this is over the course of maybe 18 months, 2 years now, up to 2017. The last time we met him or saw him was December of 2017. And then as in the film, you see, I don't know if you mentioned the actor's name, I'm not, just so I don't get sued, but you know, in the film, you'll see that he comes encountered with this Hollywood star who has HIV, who he's treating, and then they have some sort of falling out. And needless to say, Dr. Tchoa stops treating my son. And, you know, and there's things that go on in the film that you can make your own kind of conclusions on. I'm not going to lead anybody in any which way, but there is a lot of, it's true. There's a lot of pieces to this pie that just don't smell right. And unfortunately for Sam's family, don't end well. And for children, my son, maybe for you and for others. I mean, I met, of course, over the 2 years, I had to meet at least 200 people that were getting treated by him, and everybody was seeing success. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, you know, people who had terminal cancer, mm-hmm. and were seeing some great results. People who were blind, who had cataract surgery, who was treating. It was just phenomenal. I mean, there was, I could tell stories. We went to a hotel room. There was this billionaire who was filming a documentary himself because he couldn't believe what was taking place. And everybody was so afraid that potentially they may get taken out, literally,
yeah.
like Big Pharma. And a lot of my board and people around me are afraid that once this film really gets out there, that my life may be in danger.
Absolutely.
Because of what we talk about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there were people in that hotel room. It was just like, you know, a turnstile. People mm-hmm. were coming and going and coming and going all day long. And I don't know what it was. Thank God I had a videographer with me to film everything. Mm-hmm. Because if I had to tell these stories and reenact it, people would never believe that that's literally what happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a bizarre turn of events for me as well, because I had, I was also video, as you recall, we were filming. And I had the podcast. The podcast is the only thing that I have left because for some reason, my video footage is lost, is gone. And I think I mentioned that to you. And we Yes. had interviewed several people also. And when I went out there, I was nervous. My husband did not want me to go. We were going to go with another celebrity person that was friends and worked with Dr. Tchoa, who introduced me. So we were going to go with this person, and he decided not to go at the last minute with us. So me and my assistant were going alone. And I was really nervous. I was stressed out. I had already seen the Bill Maher footage, and I knew about the potential danger of being involved or at least even talking to this man and then helping spread his word, right? And then you know about all of these health practitioners that are disappearing. We know Health Nut News has done a lot of exposés on all these different people who are disappearing, these doctors and alternative practitioners just dying strangely. So I was really stressed, and there's this thing that happens to me when I'm stressed out where I have this sort of like autoimmune issue where I get these massive migraines, and once it's on, I can't do anything. I'm bedridden for like 6 or 7 days. So as we're driving out there with my assistant, I was like, I am feeling like I'm getting this thing. And I'm telling you, every time a helicopter flew by, I was like, we're dying. We're about to die. Mm-hmm. And then the whole next day, super nervous. So when we got to the location, I didn't want to go with him. I didn't want to drive all the way to the location for the same reason your apprehensions, mine were the same. Is he going to throw us in the back of a truck and steal us? Like, what's going to happen? And so the more through the interview, through the podcast, I could feel my whole neck stiffening. And if you listen to it, I start asking less and less questions and just start going, because I'm in that much discomfort. So after seeing like three people in his office, he said, "Are you feeling okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And I told him what I just told you. And he said, "Oh, okay, well, that sounds like," and he describes what he thinks it is, and he starts preparing a little concoction, doesn't even ask me if I want to get this treatment. And I didn't even care. I said yes. And I sat there, and he administered it, and I just within seconds, right? Seconds, yeah. I could feel a difference. And I was like, okay, the only way I can know for sure is if I run around this building. So I walk outside, I'm like, okay. Because there's no way I could do it. And right. Did it. Ran around the building, was able to drive home, was fine. Just all the tension went away, the headache, the migraine, tremendous. So I had the personal experience, but I don't have the footage any longer and I just have the podcast. Oh. Yeah. So what is your goal with your film?
So right now, our foundation, we have a study that's going on right now that's cost about $35,000 a month. And so it's like a two-prong approach with the film. One is to raise awareness about this deadly disease that only affects boys. It's been around for 200 years. There's no cure. Is to get awareness out there because people I talked to, they had never heard of this disease. So that's number one. Number two, all of the funds that people go out and buy and rent the film will go to help fund this study that's costing us $35,000 a month right now. And unfortunately, with this health crisis that's going on in America and basically globally, it's causing a financial crisis, as I'm sure you and neighbors are feeling it as well. So, you know, we need to fund this study because right now, not only do we have, I guess we're spilling all beans here, do we have access to Sam's serum? We need to study that. Mm-hmm. We did a phase 1 on it. Not only was it working in my son, did we see it, but because of certain extenuating circumstances, I'm no longer putting it in my son. We did a mouse model study. It was the same thing. So whatever was translating, you know, happening in my son happened in a mouse model. Now we need to do a phase 2 on the study, as well as now we have a new drug that we're testing, or a compound known as JAR-914, and it's working in the boys. It's not a cure. We know that, but I need to fund Sam's serum and we need help. And my hope is that potentially somebody sees this, and there's a famous doctor. I won't say his name, but there's a famous doctor in the film that I would love to get on his TV show because he was kind of the antithesis of Bill Maher. You know, they were trading stories. Bill Maher was showing Sam's story, and this doctor was showing the celebrity story. And, you know, and of course they were butting heads, but what people don't realize back then was the celebrity was pro Sam at the time until something happened between them. And, you know, and I guess nobody will ever know that's between the two of them, but I want to get on that doctor show because I think Sam needs the validation. Number one. Number two, I think people need to know that his serum was working and it could potentially save my son's life. Mm-hmm. And other children who were suffering from this disease, mm-hmm. because it was really working.
Yeah. Well, you said a second there that it we're spilling the beans, but I think the thing about your film that people have to see that we did not and don't have the time to go into here is the degree to which it was working. Like how many people, like you show in your film some miraculous footage that makes this jaw dropping, that brought tears to my eyes. And so not only your story and James's story and your whole family's story is a tearjerker, to say the least. And then, you know, meeting Dr. Chichoa. And then, you know, there's a cliffhanger in there that we're not going to discuss now about Dr. Chichoa. And that all of that needs to be seen. Your film, I was riveted. And I think that everyone who shows any interest in this particular episode of my podcast, you have to see this film. And if you know anybody who can help, you need to share the film. You need to keep sharing it and sharing it, because I think it's that important. And a time like now, where I feel like the shutting up the whistleblowers and shutting up the doctors who all are alternative, who are coming up with brilliant, brilliant concepts for cures or prevention or ways to reduce the suffering, these doctors have been shut up for way too long. And yeah. People, and it's time. There's an awakening happening. It's time. It's en masse, right? People en masse are coming together and doing things that you're doing and speaking on platforms like mine and bigger. And I think that it's so important and exciting. So I really pray that this turns into a funding for the next phase of testing. Absolutely.
Right. And you know, one of the biggest things as well is if the naysayers are out there and watching this or listening to this, if they want to help debunk, I mean, right, it could go two ways. Help me prove that it wasn't working. Well, yeah. Help me prove that he was a fraud, because if that's the case, he was defrauding hundreds of people, even though he never took a dollar from us. His concern was he just wanted to get his serum out to the public. But nonetheless, it was working, and it worked for many, many, many people. And we need to continue studying that serum, because it really will be a life-changing ordeal for families like mine. Right. And you brought a good point about modern day and age, right? Right now, we're dealing with the coronavirus. And, you know, whether you like Trump or not, he does say things that are off the cuff that are true. Like people are trying to the chloroquine, right? His thing is, what do you got to lose? People are dying, right? So that was 5 years ago, that was my situation. What do I got to lose? I have nothing to lose, right? The outcome is grim as we know it. What's going to happen? And we were fortunate enough that it was going in the positive direction. And we need to get back to that as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's really important. And those naturopath doctors, they need to be heard.
Yes, they do. They do. And you're right. What a great perspective to come from. Fine then, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. If you think that it's insane that I'm mega dosing vitamin C and healed myself from coronavirus, prove me wrong. I just read an article that Dr. Shiva posted about a hospital in Shelby Township, I think. I don't know. That sounds like a New Jersey place. I'm not sure where it is, but they're under investigation for treating people with mega dosing intravenous vitamin C. What? You know, so this has to stop. It does. And hopefully people like yourself.
I mean, what's the worst that you can get? You get the runs from taking too much vitamin C.
Right.
How is anybody wasting money on trying to investigate that?
Right. It makes me think of those commercials where, you know, with these drugs that have side effects of, you know, anal leakage, blindness, and potentially death. And right. It's a drug that everybody is able to ask their doctor about, right?
So because they got some fine print after the visual ad, that makes it okay. I don't understand how that's possible.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, I'm suffering so much. I'm going to take my chances with that. Okay, well, let's do that with these things. But we know that there might be an alternative agenda behind some of these things. You know, there might be big pharma can't make as much money on hydrochloroquine as they can on a mass vaccine for people, on a mandated vaccine. Like, there's all these other agendas that I don't know enough about, but I love talking about. But we know, and we all have a feeling now, like everybody's on to these guys. It's not right. it's not just the tinfoil hat wearing people like myself from 10 years ago and 20 and 30 years ago. Now it's a lot of just the average person going, something's not right about this, you know, and they start asking questions. And then people like you who take action. And so I think it's brilliant. And I've just been so, so impressed and inspired by you since we met. And right. What kind of projects do you have going now besides this? You do a lot of events raising money for Duchenne. You do a lot of, I mean, marathon isn't even the word. What do you do? These like 4-day runs?
I wish they were 4 days. Unfortunately, back in 2015, when I was, getting into raising money and awareness, I was introduced to ultra stage racing, which the ones I've been involved in are 7 day events where you run for a period of 7 days with everything you need on your back. And it's usually in a very harsh environment, like the Grand to Grand is in Utah, and you run in the desert for 7 days, carrying everything on your back to survive. The only thing the race organizers provide for you, excuse me, is water and shelter, a tent at the end of the night. And you're running approximately 32 miles a day. And there's usually a long stage along the way, which is 54 miles on the minimum, depending upon the race that you're running. And needless to say, along the 171 miles you're running over 7 days, there's 40,000 feet of elevation change. And it's a timed event. So if you don't get to point A and point B throughout the day, you're automatically pulled from the course. And we do these things to raise awareness and to raise funds.
You're a beast. That's what you're not. An animal isn't even the word. Beast is the word. I mean, what about a 5K turkey trot or a toy run? How about a motorcycle toy run or poker run?
we tried them, but oddly enough, the more dangerous things I had tried to conquer, the more people were watching and the more awareness we were raising. And, back in 2016, I thought the biggest race was ever going to be was the New York City Marathon. And then I did something called the Disney Dopey, which is a 4 day event where you run a 5K, a 10K, a half and a full, which back then I'm thinking, my God, this is such a huge event. How am I going to get through it? Then I do that. I fly out to New Zealand. I do a 205 mile race over 7 days with more than 50,000 feet of elevation change. 12 hours later, I jump on a plane and I flew to Australia and I did 100 miles more. So I broke a few world records, one being the largest guy ever at 242 pounds.
What?
Not only to toe the line, but to finish. And then to do 305 miles in 12 days. I suffered a heart attack on one of them. I climbed a 1,000-foot mountain. It was 107 miles in. And after climbing 1,000 feet up, my heart gave. And needless to say, that was it for me that year.
But I came back. Wait a minute. You said that like, oh, I blew a spark plug. You had a heart attack?
I did. When I do these things, my primary focus, I've got blinders on, is to find a cure. Yeah. That's all I care about. Running the race is a means to an end to raise the money, to raise awareness, to get to the cure. So right. I can get the funds into the doctor's hands to do these things. So training is not necessarily in my repertoire. So running the race is how I train to do bigger and better races. I just wasn't in shape. My son was going to be 9 that year. And they usually say with Duchenne, 9 years is the age in which they lose ambulation. So I was just shaken to the bone to make sure when he turned 9 he was still walking, and that's all that mattered to me.
Yeah.
And you say he's 11 and he's still walking, so.
Oh my gosh. And you owe that to besides all the incredible work you're doing, but also to Dr. Chichoa's serums.
Absolutely. I firmly agree with that. And that's why I'm hell-bent on getting this phase two. But they're talking about $2.2 million to do a phase two study. And especially now in this climate, raising money is not easy. It's really not.
Right. And then, the concept that you have some, potentially nefarious agendas behind stopping it. Like, the whole idea with his work that was sent to Cedars-Sinai and all of a sudden it disappeared. Do you remember that? But of course you remember because
it's
in the film. And it's like, you don't know who to trust because what are they going to do? You get a third party to do this study and you're like, okay, what's going to happen to all those people involved in doing the study? So, but I think the more people are aware of it, the harder it is to do shady stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's harder when hundreds of thousands of people have heard this and have watched your movie and who know who you are. It's harder to make people like you disappear when everyone knows who you are.
I hope so.
Counting on.
I hope.
Well, that, and let's keep you alive. No more, heart attacks at 200 feet, or what did you say? That's crazy.
And Sam and I spoke about these things, and that's why Sam was, I don't want to say he used the word excited, but was looking to get away from cancer and to get into the Duchenne space, because there's really not anybody looking into Duchenne. It's mm-hmm. been around for 200 years, which means nobody's really paying attention to it, and there's no cure, right? There's not a therapy. So he's not taking anybody's money if he was to come up with the first therapy. In the cancer space, well, that's a whole nother story. And so he was looking to kind of get away from it, treat who he was, but really get into the Duchenne space and even the heart space. And he was working on something at which the collateral damage for children with Duchenne is they suffer heart attacks, and that's how they pass away. So he and I were really working on something for 2 years that was really going to be revolutionary. You know, it was just taking his serum and as you said, his concoctions, you know, and changing it a little bit. And and it was working. And I need to continue for him and for everybody else involved.
Yeah.
Study.
Well, I'm going to put all of this in the show notes so people have access to the film and know how to reach you and keep in touch with what your events are next and how they can donate. And one quick question before we wrap it up. Does anybody know why it targets boys?
Well, it's a genetic disorder. So it falls on the dystrophin gene. And unfortunately, the dystrophin gene lives on the X chromosome. So as you know, males have one X chromosome. Our genetic makeup is XY, where females are XXY. So if you had Duchenne muscular dystrophy, you may never know about it.
Oh.
Unless you had a child or a boy where you would pass the recessive gene onto that child.
Okay.
For us men, if your dystrophin gene is broken on your X chromosome, that's it. You have the outward effects of it. Women don't because potentially the other X chromosome, the dystrophin gene on that X chromosome is working properly.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much for, you know, joining me and for your time. I know you're busy and I'm going to get the word out. Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for sharing your film with us and good luck. And I'm praying for Jamesy and for your family. And it's always, always great to see you.
Absolutely. And we're going to have a sequel coming out to this film. It's called The Race Against Time. And, you know, what we're studying now, and we have ample footage of what we've done in the past, and we're going to put another film together.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I can't wait. Well, keep me posted.
I most certainly will. You be safe.
Right? Wasn't that a movie? It's like a movie. It really is. The details of what took place, what he experienced. So, you know, the fact that we met Dr. Chichoa on the same day, I had interviewed the podcast that you have access to here on Stuff Your Doctor Should Know back in March, which I'll remind you what those numbers were. It's episode 22, 23, and 24. Incredible, guys. I saw this man with my own two eyes, my physical presence in the clinic of this. This wasn't his clinic, but it was a clinic that he would come and work out of that was on tribal soil and Native American soil. And I saw him, you know, and I had my own anecdotal experience as well that I mention in the podcast. And I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I'm also someone who is very impressed easily, I think. And so I was giving myself a little bit of like, all right, you might just be super excited about this. You don't know these people. You don't know anything. And all the people that were here being treated, all the hopeful people and the people that had already been cured, but that were going back for maintenance, if you will. And some people were just coming by to see him. And as far as him and, we don't really know exactly what has become of him. And that's the sad part about it. So he's kind of just either disappeared by choice because of so many attempts on his life, or he has disappeared. He has Jeffrey Epstein'd himself. So guys, you know, I'll leave it up to you to decide what you think. I cannot recommend this film more. You have to see this movie, and your money that you pay for to rent it or to purchase it on Vimeo, in the show notes, you'll see the link. is going to such an amazing cause. So I highly recommend it. If you have any room for a charitable donation right now, this would be an ideal place to do so. And yeah, all the information is in the show notes. I really appreciate you guys listening to this. This is the kind of information that really stokes the fire in my heart about alternative medicine, alternative therapies, and how incredibly insidious Big Pharma can be trying to stamp out alternative therapies that offer cures and reduction in suffering, increase of the quality of life. These things exist, friends. They're not fake. They're not snake oil. And gosh, I just want to make sure all this information gets out. So share it if you can. And again, thank you to Jigsaw Health. They are the bomb. And nobody can hide what they do. They're amazing. Get yourself some cod liver oil and some magnesium SRT. And don't forget the Mag Soothe, because that's the one that helps you sleep like a baby. And it also gets rid of restless leg syndrome and muscle cramps, and it helps you to relax and not have anxiety attacks in the middle of the night.